Hey, dear friends, it is now Tuesday, December the 22nd. Thank you, Steve. And listen, this is a day in which we need to survive and thrive. It's not a time to sit back. It's a time to have some outrage in your life, some passion for what needs to be done. Seems like everybody knows there's trouble in the air, trouble in the economics, trouble in the political world, and even on the streets. And this concept of a growing globalism, well, it's striking everybody. And so some just want to, survive. But you got to go beyond that. Tuesday night, thanks again to Steve Quayle. We're going to tell you that it's a need to thrive. I think that's what was happening with believers in the book of Acts. Man, they were at it. They were changing the world around them. And there's still time to do some of that. Listen, you know what I listened to today? I listened to a news report that tells me that a pregnant woman falls down in a restaurant and is in trouble. Two medics were sitting there eating their dinner, and people asked them to help, and they said that they would not do it for them to call 911. By the time others came to help the pregnant woman, the baby and the woman, that is the baby in the womb and the woman, the mother, were dead. Just feet away. Listen, we live in a very, very ragged world. We understand the pain. We understand the hurt. We understand the confusion. We understand the lies and the deceit, and that there's not a lot of trust going around any longer. So what do we do? Listen, ragged edge of a world? Yes. This is a world in which, in a lot of ways, we're crying out 911. I want you to know that God did not send or tell somebody else, or, you know, God came. God came up and God came down and God visited and God is here. That's what we need, really. Being down on the ground with the sin code, the death code, and, this tragic, tragic world headed for cataclysmic chaos and some destruction coming up. All the deceptions around us, the spirits of the dark side have, ramped up as biblical revelation predicted. But we haven't seen anything yet, my friends. There's going to be vast, supernatural, unprecedented deception all around us in the days to come. Listen, we need help. And I think it's vital that we understand that God has got up. God has crossed over and stepped right down into our lives. This is what the incarnation is all about. This is what the prophets spoke about, God's visitation. God himself would come. This is all about the genetics of the incarnation. This is the most amazing, incredible picture. Listen, the Creator came to his creation. His creation messed up and sinned and were hurting and were dying and were without God. But God did step in. The angels sang about it on the birth of God in human flesh. This is good news of great joy, which is for all people. That includes you listening right now. Or even by the providence of God, the archives during the week, months ahead, God knows when you will hear. And when his spirit will engage you. If you're a believer in Jesus, the Spirit of God, you might sense, that sense of fire and presence. You know what? He's never left you, never forsaken you through all the pain, through all the trials, through all the stuff this side of heaven. It's like the rock group Slayer. You know, with their pentagrams and everything else. They got a song called, on an album called South of Heaven, in reference to hell. Well, in the middle, right here, we really are, in a sense, south of heaven. We have lost the eternal nature that we had in the beginning. And there's a code within death. The wages of sin is death. Now, that's a reality. A woman was in trouble, pregnant, in a restaurant today and fell over. Two paramedics sitting there would not help her. They were busy eating. They told other customers and the establishment to call 911. It was too late, too little. The mother died, the baby died, and now there's going to be outrage everywhere, hopefully. Sometimes when we are in survival mode, there's no room for outrage. We don't want to risk getting involved because there might be some danger in that. Might be some danger in helping to lead people to embrace God, to battle this dark side, to engage this pinnacle of Luciferian accomplishment, the coming globalism. Well, I tell you what I got today in the mail. And by the way, if you're new tonight, this is a Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time show, survivetothrive.net. And this is Russ Dizdar, our guest host. And we, if you want to know all about us, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. www.shatterthedarkness.net on the web. And listen, we're going to get ready to release the newsletter tomorrow, email newsletter. And it'll always have free podcasts and teachings and materials and updates and whatever. So if you go to shatterthedarkness.net, scroll down a little bit, you'll see how to sign up for the newsletter. And we have people every day signing up. So we'll begin to send that out tomorrow and get that to you. Wow, we're in a season. Everybody calls it Christmas. We're working on another book here, and we're going to put up some of the outline of that book in the newsletter. And it's called The Genetics of the Incarnation. Now, that is the topic this week also. The Genetics of the Incarnation. And again, would to God, scientists and physicists and, many thinkers out there grapple with this. And even when you grapple with this, the issue is, whether you're going to believe it or not, is this incredible declaration. The prophets declared it. The apostles received it. The angels of God acknowledged it, confirmed it, proclaimed it, sang about it, basically. The demons feared it. And every one of the writers who wrote about it in Scripture not only declared that this is God in human flesh, but each were in personal relationship. And I don't know if you have a personal relationship with God. For so many millions, it's still God seems to be out there in space. We're trying to grab a hold of spirituality. And somebody's trying to shove down the throats of humanity an alternative, deceptive, distractive substitute. It's as if they've gone out and shifted the train tracks. So instead of you hearing plainly and clearly and having that road straight to the heart and the face and the life and the person of God, they've come to shift and move you off that track. And I have no doubt that there are some that are going to be listening. When there's a couple hundred million New Agers around the world guided by the spirits of the New Age, these are not spirits that are friendly with God. They're in opposition. They're setting up a different camp. They're setting up a different agenda. And the ultimate agenda of the spirits of the New Age, Armageddon. That's the ultimate one. Now, there's 1,000 other things in between Armageddon and this moment in history. But let me assure you that Lord Monocton, many others that are trying to unleash a strong voice against world government. Now, I mentioned yesterday when James sent in a great article about, not only globalization that ultimately leads to a world government. We all know that's what they're trying to push. We all know that Barack Obama is involved in that. We all know that there are those in his cabinet that are part of the Bilderbergers and Trilateral Commission and globalists. All the way around. And there's two camps among globalists. There are those that exactly know what's going on. And they're in league with the Luciferian doctrine and presence and believe in a bright, shining, counterfeit being to come. a world teacher, a Maitreya, a Mahdi, a political, a spiritual, a hero to humanity, joining the world, obviously in a massively supernaturally empowered way. Just one massive problem. Wrong spirit, wrong power, wrong guidance, wrong hero, Antichrist. This is the one that in his visible physical appearance in the world, and by the way, there's going to be no actual globalism until he bursts out on the scene. Massive chaos first, and then he comes to, save the day as if he's the hero, though he's behind creating the chaos. Come on, we need some great big spirit-led, individuals out there that can see through just the political, the economic, and, all the different favors and bribes and money laundering that goes on in Congresses and government in places right now. We need those who know the living Christ, the Spirit, the uncreated, infinite Spirit of God dwelling in their lives. We need those who are going to be able to point their fingers because they know, based on biblical prophetic revelation, not only what time it is, but what the events mean. Biblical prophetic revelation gives us a definitive picture of the sequence of satanic evolution. And we are in the process. The next big stage is the massive, massive global chaos. Well, it's going to lead to world government for sure. It's all being prepared, but you better realize that won't occur until, a masked Superman comes on the scene. Already out there somewhere. Sometimes I wonder if they even, or he even, listens to a lot of those who are out there speaking against it and trying to bring, resistance, exposure. Listen, in the coming anarchy, the plot of the underground Luciferian is to get rid of a lot of the resistors. We outlined that in the book, The Black Awakening, The Rise of the Satanic Super Soldiers. What are you going to do when it all breaks down? We give a major section of the book, not only on what's going on, what they're going to be doing, how they're going to do it, but then some of the things we need to do to get ready. Well, let me mention real quick here that Glenn has sent an email in. It's a Copenhagen, new terminology, and chosen ones he puts into this. Now, listen, I'm just going to quote what he put here and comment real quick. And Glenn, I appreciate it, just like I did yesterday with James. And again, if you want to email me during the show even, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. Glenn, this is what Glenn says. Russ, I saw an interview with Gordon Brown post-Copenhagen. Despite it being labeled a failure, he could barely keep the smile off his face. The new terminology for world government is, quote, institutional framework. Hey, so be looking for that. If British Prime Minister Gordon Brown is pumping the term institutional framework, we may begin to hear that all over the place. Now, that's according to Alex Jones and Lord McNaughton. Glenn goes on to tell me in this email, the UN soldiers sound a lot like chosen ones to me. Now, in the book, we mention the rise of the satanic super soldiers. Super soldiers by the hundreds and hundreds of thousands that have been developed over the years. And there's a term that we use that they have given me, chosen ones. It links to the supernatural power, purpose, and coming bloodshed. Anybody who reads the book of Revelation and sees the unleashing of the Pyros, or the red horse, when instantly peace is taken from the earth, and men begin to, and the Greek word is, butcher one another in a civil insurrection. Now, there may be border wars and missiles flying and some planes here and there. But this involves more of a civil insurrection, like a massive crazed riot where people begin to butcher. Now that again is very, very specific language, and it does relate to the coming chaos. The dark side in the sequence of their coming to power, they have plotted a massive coup, a great revolt, and it's going to involve getting rid of, trying to get rid of those who resist them before the new regime comes to power. Now, we know that the institutional framework, as Gordon Brown calls it, and I mentioned earlier that there's probably two people in this camp of globalism. One, there are those that are caught up in it because they think in terms of economics and whatever else. They're buying into the promise. You know, when the fallen cherub said to humanity in the beginning, listen, if you chuck God, believe what I have to say, you know, you're going to evolve with this elitist inside knowledge, and you're going to become God like God. Well, this is where the failure on our side is. We opened the door. You did and I did. The human race. You know, check out, if you want to take a look deep into this, even Romans chapter 5, specifically, verse 12 down. Now, if Gordon Brown, and thank you again, Glenn, for the email, is talking about an institutional framework, be looking for the phrase when it comes to globalism. But he's mentioning, because he's familiar and he's reading the book, The Black Awakening, and some other discipleship material, he says that the UN soldiers, now I'm going to say this, and I would suggest that there would be many, many chosen ones, highly programmed, demonized, prepared sleepers, and even active workers within the UN. That would be a major spot, and where many of these soldiers may also operate out of when the time comes. But it's interesting that somebody who is reading material now is looking around and seeing the connections. I think the book, The Black Awakening, will help connect the dots for a lot of psychologists, psychiatrists that have been for 25 years engaged in counseling those who have dissociative identity disorder. That's the new term. And that you have engaged subpersonalities and stories, not only of horrific satanic ritual abuse, but of them being a part in a plot of a coming new world order. Wonder why so many of these individuals, chosen ones, speak fluent German on the inside. And we'll talk more about that even on Wednesday and Friday night. Tonight, the engagement on the incarnation. I mean, we can go over the specs of the incarnation. We can go from the prophets to the angels of God to the apostles to the declaration of scripture, old and new, to Jesus Christ himself, to hundreds of millions around the world that now personally are in fellowship. They know the living Christ. They are in fellowship. They confess this is God. Just like Thomas when he bowed his knee and cried out, "My Lord and my God." Now, maybe there's some doubting Thomases out there right now. And my question is, what do you have? And that's what I guess I would say, like, to Richard Dawkins and to those who are, like, atheists or even agnostics. So many times they spend so much time defending their position and telling what they are and what they are not. The question is, then, what do you have? What hope? What answers for life and death? Origins and endings? Atheists, agnostics, existentialists, nihilists, hedonists, humanists, deists, blind. Blind, blind, blind. Cannot see with spirit-lit eyes by the Spirit of God indwelling them through the gift given when someone receives the living Christ into their life. Listen, one thing I know for sure is that everyone that has received and accepted the message, the person of the Lord Jesus, and Christ has come to live in their life, guess what? They have acknowledged my Lord and my God, that Jesus is Savior. Jesus has love. Jesus has forgiveness. Jesus has power. Jesus has given me the gift of eternal life. Jesus is all that the prophets have said, the angels have said, the apostles have said, Old Testament, New Testament, ancient scripture that lives. He is God. Now see, I confess that now for 37 years. Coming out of New Age and occultic practices and being a practicing gold into golden Buddha meditation, sitting at the temple. I understand the other powers. I understand the real spiritual experiences that individuals can have. Many of them. There's many of them. Preoccupying, distracting, and guiding us further and further away. Somebody has shifted the tracks. And the greatest deception in human history is here, with biblical revelation giving us the heads up saying, it will only get worse. If you think people are deceived now, and if you're listening right now and you say, well, man, all I know is that I feel deceived. I don't know the truth. I don't know what I'm doing. Then again, listen to the words. God didn't leave you on the floor to die just a few feet away from him. God came down as foretold hundreds and hundreds of years prior. The communication of the visitation of God in the incarnation is massive. Who's going to take the time to look at it? But it's massive. And when the event occurs, it's the most incredible. So I know that a lot of you are looking at this time of the year as Christmas. Some that are saying, well, listen, there's pagan backgrounds. I understand that. Others that are saying, this is just a materialistic thing. I understand that. But I'm not going to be silenced. I'm not going to sit back and not declare, talk about one of the, listen, the good news of great joy. It's not just a children's story. This is the impact of God. This is the crossroads. No, this is life. This is death. This is eternity. This is whether we come to embrace on a personal, real level God. You see, I've walked with God now 37 years. I know God. He dwells within me. I confess without any shame that Jesus Christ is God. I don't have any problem there. Because it's amazing that God didn't leave me here in my sin, in my mess, in my dying, and with hell's mouth wide open. I stand in awe of the cross and a blood that was shed from Christ Jesus, who never, never, never sinned. See, he conquered sin. He conquered death. He conquered hell. And he conquered Satan, Luciferians. He conquered what you think is a bright, shining one. The serpent worshipers worldwide, oh, they experience powers. They're dazzled, but by a lesser being. He has done this before. That's why we're in the boat we're in. That's why we're on the floor in the ragged edge of this world trying to get along. And there's a battle for souls. You better believe it. And God's not out of the picture. All over the world, hundreds of thousands all over the world are hearing the message, the good news of great joy, which is for all the people, Russians and Chinese. By the millions, Chinese have come to Christ. All over the world, whoever you are, wherever you're at, the message that God loves you, that God wants you, that God has provided for you, that when that baby was born that Satan tried to destroy. Even Satan understood this is no mere human. And so tonight, in the midst of this series on the genetics of the incarnation, the title, Fully God, Fully Man, the incarnation is the song of angels and the fear of demons. I've seen a lot of deliverances or exorcisms, whatever you want to call it. I've listened to the demons, these supernatural beings that have invaded a human life through legal doorways, come to the surface and scream at me and yell at me and mock God and mock Christ until they're told to shut up in the name of the living Christ, and then they are silenced. They fear none but Christ. They don't care about Buddha. They don't care about Hindu gurus. They don't care about New Age channelers. They're not intimidated by remote viewers trying to see them. Whenever they see a human being that does not have the Spirit of God dwelling in them, does not have the blood of Christ covering them, that does not have the mark of God, the seal of God's ownership, well, they know they have them, maybe you. And maybe today, by the supernatural providence of God, he has, there's an engagement. I'm going to tell you that God is summoning you. I'm going to say it as an ambassador of God. You know, come home to God. Take a look at Christ. See what he's done for you. There is no other event in history like the cross. Well, the birth. Well, the life. The words. The works. Listen, when you add up the eternality of Christ, as we did Monday night, when you deal with the fact that God was God before he came into human flesh and was God in human flesh, we dealt with that Monday night. You can catch that in the archives. Tonight we're simply saying, listen, fully God, fully man, whether you look at the eternality of God before he came and the Christophanies, that is the pre-incarnate appearances of Christ before the incarnation. That's right. Isaiah chapter 6, good example. Mark it down, Isaiah chapter 6, good example. 700 years before Jesus, before God was in human flesh, in Christ. When Isaiah looked up and he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he heard the declaration, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. This is the same terminology used in the book of Revelation about Jesus. Isaiah said, Yahweh Adonai, this is Christ. Let's take a few moments here to listen to Steve. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Again, Russ Dizdar here, and listen, we're doing the series this week for four nights, The Genetics of the Incarnation. We did an opening to this, an intro to this on Sunday night on our other live show. Now, the reason that I think that this is a great time to celebrate Christ and the message, it's unmatched, it's unequaled, on the one hand, let's say, if it wasn't true, it's a fantastic story. If it is true, and I'm declaring and believing and saying and sharing experientially that it is true, that God Himself has come into human flesh. And if you want a personal revelation about the magnitude of the reasons why, I mean, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 down. There's a reason why God came into human flesh. And it simply tells us that since the children, referring to you and I, have flesh and blood, He, referring to God, He too shared in our humanity. God came into human flesh. Well, He did it for a reason. And there it's going to tell you that He came to destroy death and the one who held the power of death. There is a spiritual, psychological hold when it comes to the concept of death. Now listen, when I listen to many New Agers, they still don't have freedom from the fear and the concerns of death. They have no definitive answer within their heart. Speculations. But there's something missing inside. See, when anyone, any place on the globe receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God comes into their life as the gift of God. The living Christ then is indwelling you. And the gift of eternal life is planted in you. Now, you can read 1 John chapter 5 where it says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. It's the Spirit of God that brings that witness within. And when it's finite spirits, dark spirits with counterfeit teachings that guide individuals, I have noticed experientially across the board, that no one has any assurance of anything, trepidation and fear when it comes to actually dying. See, dying's a big issue. We weren't created to die. We weren't meant to die. We weren't supposed to physically rot in a casket or in a ground or you know, we weren't supposed to be able to be ripped out of our physical bodies. Because in the beginning, we were created as eternal beings. The Bible shows very clearly that death is an intrusion. You know what? I've done funerals over the years for many, many years as a pastor. Funerals. Standing before hundreds of caskets. Dead. The bodies are there. The people are not. They're gone. And so in all those crowds over all those years, there are those who are like, what happened to my mom? What happened to where are they at now? You know, they don't know. They don't have any assurance. And yet there are those who have known God. They've been born of the Spirit of God. Christ dwells in them. They know where they're going and their family knows. The Bible simply says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. There's no mistaking it. Can I ask you a question? Whatever your background, I'm specifically going to ask remote viewers and psychics and New Agers and those that are seeking. Can I ask you, if God can be known on a personal basis, don't you want to know God? If God can eventually be seen face to face, don't you want to see God? If God is a God of love that will embrace you, wipe away all tears, have the infinite power and the love to do it, to give you the gift of eternal life, wouldn't you want it? That's why I think that we need to take a look at the genetics of the incarnation. It is not a finite being promising anything. It is now the infinite God in a plan of rescue and redemption and restoration and so much more. I'm going to ask tonight where you are on this subject. Do you believe in the deity of Jesus Christ? Do you believe that this is God in human flesh? And I'm not talking about God small g. I'm not talking about some Hindu small g God, finite being, incarnation in their view of things. That has nothing to do with the biblical revelation. I'm not talking about New Agers or Mormons or Jehovah Witnesses or the old Gnostics. Not even the remote viewers. Here's what I find, okay? It's without question the prophets and the apostles, Old Testament and New Testament, speak about God in human flesh, speak about the full deity of God in Christ, that this is not only fully God, but fully man. The incarnation is the mix. This is a representation on God's side and a representation on man's side. It's all about uniting mankind back to God. It's all about, well, a mediator, a redeemer, that an event could occur to break the moral sin barrier, because we can't. You can look, listen, psychologists can look, sociologists can look, anthropologists can study all the way around the world, and this issue of evil in the heart of man, man slaying man, man raping man, man harming man, racism, whatever it may be. It's without question that mankind, humanly speaking, has not solved the propensity of the sin code that dwells within. Some people even do evil and then cry out they don't know why they did it. And they have no idea that the sin code within has an outside operating principle. So let's just talk about the facts. If you're lost, the Bible says that your spirit is dead to God. That there is a code, a sense of a presence within you. Some in biblical language have called it the flesh nature or the sin nature, the sin force. Romans chapter 8 is a great definitive chapter on this subject. It's a presence within humanity that, for whatever reason, well, we know the reason, causes humanity to be hostile towards God and not want to go towards God. Why? Because the sin nature came from, listen, the originator of sin. And it is that being that continues to feed or operate and use the fallen sin nature of man as a platform. See if this verse fits that. Ephesians 2. The prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Disobedient describes without the Spirit of God, in opposition to God. And you might even be listening right now and think you don't want to have anything to do with God. Why not? Can you really reach deep down? Now the flesh and the devil will try to give you reasons. Try to blame all of this raggedy edge of a world that we live in on God as if God did something wrong. I mean, we're the ones that ripped God's hands off of us, threw his word to the ground, turned our backs, and embraced the word of a finite, fallen, spiritual entity. And many millions of New Agers are doing that right now. And deep, dark down Luciferians, real ones, Satanists, real ones, well, you're doing that to the max. Listen, it's your choice. If you want finite beings and finite gods and goddesses and finite spirituality, if you want to, you know, if you want to dance with the demons, you can dance. but you will reap what you sow. You're separated and lost and do not have the gift of immortality planted in you. There's only one that is provided by rights, by power, by personal offering of his own life, Christ. Now, there is no Hindu guru, not even Buddha, that I was into heavily for years. There's no one in the New Age as far as beings. No alien has ever come down. Why in the world do we? Why in the world does anybody trust the so-called aliens? I've been to Roswell twice. I've been involved. I've listened and have talked with and engaged abductees, and even those who believe that they have contacted the aliens and are on a mission with the message of the aliens. I understand how we can embrace what is clearly finite beings who cannot bring to us what only the infinite can. I mean, think about it for a moment. Because of the massive numbers, millions around the world that are into ufology, into the alien message, believe that there's real entities on the backside of the moon or on Mars, that there's going to be a disclosure. They're going to show up. They're going to come. But everything that they, so-called they, these extra-dimensional beings have done so far, well, they kidnap people, they rape people, they hide, they monitor, they don't let anybody know, you know, they deceive, they create massive fear, pretty much similar to what happens at a satanic ritual with kids. So I don't want to believe in the finite. I don't want to believe in these entities that won't show themselves. I don't want to believe, you know, really, I'm just going to say it, the Mormon doctrine, because the Mormon doctrine denies, not biblical doctrine, but Mormons deny the deity of God in Christ. I mean, the New Agers do, the Gnostics do, and listen, even all those remote viewers who have received communication from the Akashic Records, this hall of records, this realm where revelation comes down to them. In every single case, and that's true of Joseph Smith, let me tell you three things that is true wherever there is a denial of the deity. I mean, it's not just, listen, if you're just going along saying it's good enough just to believe in Jesus. But if you look at Galatians chapter 1, there are many. Even in the days of the early church, the dark side immediately began to formulate a counterfeit alternative message and a fake Jesus. The Gnostics were the experts at it. But it involved clearly the denial of the deity, which always brings with it the denial of the power that can be had in the act of salvation. The Gnostics not only denied the deity, they denied the incredible power of the cross and the blood of Jesus. Now that's true of Ebionites, Sabellianists, many others as church history went on. That's true of every cult, every single cult. I was reading a book not too long ago, mentioned maybe 30,000 different cults in the United States. The Way International, the Moonies, and so forth. The denial of the deity of Christ brings with it, though, this... Because I'm meeting people that deny the deity, hang on to extra, outside of the Bible, revelations. They're not biblical revelations. So if they didn't come from the Spirit of God, where'd they come from? Joseph Smith got from finite spirits, the same finite spirits that would give to the Gnostics, to the New Age leaders, and now communicating to remote viewers. See, remote viewers are coming up and saying that they've got, literally one of them told me that the information they have from the data coming down out of this spiritual hall of records. Well, Jesus isn't God. There's no emphasis of the cross or the gift of eternal life. The whole thing is negated. And in every case, track it. In every single case, it is dark spirits counterfeiting. The Word of God calls them planos. Timothy 1, 4, chapter 4, verse 1. They are seducing on one side, but the Greek word also means imposters. Here's three things that I've noticed wherever there is a fake Jesus presented. Number one, the information that they have gotten and that they are proclaiming is 100% extra biblical, outside of biblical revelation. Number two, those who promote and talk about a different de-deified Jesus, they have no personal testimony of salvation, no personal testimony of being born again of the Spirit of God, no personal testimony of having the indwelling of the living Christ and the gift of eternal life and knowing in personal relationship the living Jesus. I don't know of any remote viewer that I've read, that I've listened to, that I've observed, some that I've talked to, not one that knows in personal relationship this living Savior, this living Christ. That's true of the Gnostics and New Agers across the board. So I think that it's vital, absolutely vital, that we come to grips. And this is not a, well, you believe this and I believe this and we all believe what we want to believe. And it's not about competition. It is about one human being sharing with you and asking you, if you deny the deity of Christ, why would you want to? If you deny that this is the message of the prophets, the revelation that came through the apostles and writers, the declaration of angels, and literally the confession of hundreds of millions around the world who actually know the living Christ. I don't know of anybody that has turned Jesus or has a fake psychic Jesus, New Age Jesus, remote viewer Jesus, whatever kind of rabbit's foot Jesus that has been made up. I know one thing, that in all those cases, that little fake Jesus can't help them. They don't rely on him. They don't worship him. They don't follow him. And they don't know the magnitude of the Lordship of Christ, of the living presence and the joy. This almost unspeakable, almost indescribable joy, not an experience only, but of a personal interaction and a knowing. Gnosko is the Greek word, an experiential knowing. You know that you know that you know that you know. You know by the Word of God. You know by the Spirit of God indwelling you. Christians, how do you know? Those who are people that have accepted and believed. Yes, people can call me a Christian. Please understand, I was raised every Sunday as a child going to the Croatian Club where my dad and grandfather and the friends all got drunk. I wasn't raised in church. I wasn't raised around the Bible. I wasn't raised around prayer. I was raised around cussing and yelling and hot tempers and drunkenness. That's probably why in my teenage years I got into, hot-headedness and drunkenness and drugs and screaming and yelling and fighting. Because I was raised a hunky man. My grandparents that I knew so well came from Dalmatia, Croatia, Yugoslavia. And the raising that I had was absent of the message. I mean, listen, when we were kids, was there Christmas? Yes. Toys, everything else. There's no question that I have memories of nativity scenes. I was always fond of that. I was always fond of the baby Jesus, of Mary and Joseph, of the concept of angels. It was something that drew me. It was something that was beyond anything, you know, was better than Jack and Jill. You remember the books, Jack and Jill Went Up a Hill? Listen, the nativity spoke to me as a kid, but I didn't know the meaning. Nobody there to tell me. Nobody told me. You ever read Romans chapter 10? How can they believe on whom they've not heard? You see, there's power in the message. That's why I think that many of you that may listen, even in archives, and you're just checking it out, maybe monitoring the show, maybe reconning for the sake of the underground, a dark underground, a black flame. Yet you're hearing, as a human being, and maybe even feeling and sensing the Spirit of God coming through to tell you that there is a greater light, a greater power, and that the personal living God loves you, calls you out of darkness into His glorious infinite light. And it's possible. It's possible to know God. It's possible to experience God. It's possible when we are glorified by the same power wielded at the cross where Jesus died and shed His blood and was raised from the dead, as the Scripture had said, the power that gift of God offered from that point on includes a coming glorification. There's no caskets, no cemeteries, no funeral parlors in the coming kingdom of God. The gift of eternal life is indestructible immortality. Now listen for a moment. If you're brand new, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. I want to welcome you. Sometimes some of you write to me during the show and even afterwards. We apologize that we can't get to everything all the time. But I want you to know that, you know, one night, real late, I was listening to the talk show Coast to Coast. And I was listening to George Norrie. I love George and I love art. And I heard him talking about Jesus and the cross. Late one night, laying there next to my bed, I'm listening to him talk about his fondness of Jesus. He was talking about time travel, that if he can go back in time, he would go back to that time right before the cross. And there, he would seek to take Jesus down from the cross. Didn't want to see him up there hurting, crucified. But you know what? George Norrie said very clearly that brought tears running down my cheeks and caused me to say out loud in the middle of the night, to literally burst out with a response. He said, concerning his desire to take Jesus down so he wouldn't suffer, bring him down off the cross. It's a nice thing. But George Norrie said this, but referring to Jesus, but I don't think he would let me. And I instantly blurted out with tears coming out of my eyes. I blurted out, George, you're absolutely right. He wouldn't let you. Because there he was paying the price for you as a substitute. Because he wanted to. Because he came for you. Because this is the Emmanuel. God in human flesh, at the cross, tearing down the walls of personal sin. Bashing down the walls of this intrusion of rotting death. Slamming the door in the full face of hell's fury. Jesus went to the cross and said these words in John's gospel that nobody takes his life from him. He says, I lay down my life by my own authority and I will take it up again. The death was for you and I. The death was for George, for Russ, for everyone, for you listening. And the burial and the shocking resurrection from the dead, as prophesied by the Spirit of God 700 and even 1,000 years in advance, the resurrection, an instantaneous, unsplittable moment of time. Once dead and beginning to decay in an unsplittable moment, there was the resurrection. It's all about you. Jesus did not die for himself. He died for you. The whole event wasn't to make him better. It was to make you better. It was to bring forgiveness, eternal life, and knowing of God. Hey, dear friends, this is Russ Dizdar. SurviveToThrive.net tonight. We'll see you Wednesday night, 6 p.m. Don't forget to take a look. ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. We love you tonight. God bless. Good night.